we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome, everybody, to Redemption Church. Are you glad to be here today? I'm thrilled to be here today. I'm really excited about today. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed in so many ways. I'll give you three quick ways I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be a dad. I'm blessed to be a husband. And I'm blessed to be a pastor of a great church that really cares about people. Amen. I love this place. I'm so glad that you're here with us. If you're here for the first time, thank you for being here. If you're here, like, for your thousandth time, thank you for being here. We love doing life with you. We're in the fifth week of our Unexpected series. Unexpected. So you can be sure, if you missed any of the previous weeks, you go to redemption-church.com/sermons. Check out the four previous weeks. Last week, we talked about unexpected disasters. Remember, Dallas has been hit with its share of unexpected disasters just in this last few weeks. But in the last year, all kinds of things have happened. But we also told you where there are unexpected disasters, there are always unexpected opportunities. All right. There's opportunities. And you've never found a disaster so bad that took away all your opportunities. You always have an opportunity. You can make your life better. You can turn your life around. Even if you're in the last moments of your life, you can do something meaningful with your life, like have a clean heart that doesn't hate people. There are people, they live their entire life doing nasty, terrible things, but in their last moments, they found peace and they started to love people. It was very late, but praise God that they found that opportunity. There's always an opportunity, y'all. There's always an opportunity. Today, I want to talk to you about unexpected solution. Unexpected solution. Life is filled with problems. Would you agree? You agree with that? Yeah, life is filled with problems. In fact, some people wrongly think becoming a Christian means a problem-free life. How's that working for you Christians? Me neither. Me neither. All right. We know this all too well that there are problems in life. I have problems B.C., before Christ. I have problems A.D., after death, A.C., after I've met Christ. All right. Every problem, though, has a solution. Every problem has a solution. And if you don't believe that, I would like to change that about you today. If you think that you have a problem in your life that's got no answer, I'd like you to leave today without that idea, that you would reject that idea and that you'd believe that there is a solution for you today. I want to tell you that there is a reason that right now, as we're speaking, doctors are in a lab trying to cure an incurable disease. There's a reason. Why is the reason? They believe deep down that there's a solution to this problem. They believe it doesn't matter if anyone says, you know, cancer's just too big, cancer's too, this HIV, no one's been able to cure it, all these things. No, they believe that if they work hard enough, they can, if they think long enough, if they do enough tests, that they can come up with a solution. There is a reason why scientists never gave up on sending people into space. It costs a lot of money. It costs a lot of lives. There's a lot of things that went wrong. It seemed impossible to send someone into outer space. But someone believed that there was a solution to get Neil Armstrong from the Earth to the moon. And they never gave up on it. Right now, with all the problems in the world, we haven't given up on democracy. We haven't given up on nations. We haven't given up all the problems in your life. You still have not given up on let's sit down and talk about it. And you know why? Because you know that there is a solution. There's a solution. I want to speak that to you today. There's a solution for the problem you came in here with today. Every problem has a solution. If you have a problem today, I've got good news for you. You have a problem in your marriage? There's a solution. You got a problem with your kids? There's a solution. Thank you, Jesus. There's a solution. All right. Amen. All the parents wiped a tear from there. If you got a problem with your health, there's a solution. If you got a problem with your finances, there are solutions. All right. If you got a problem in your city or in your nation or in the world, there is a solution. Don't you dare give up. No matter the problem, you need to believe that there is a solution. You need to ask yourself right now, do I really believe that there's a solution to this problem? Have I been beat down so much by the problem that I've given up on there being an answer?
oh, but Pastor Chris, you don't understand. You see, that this sermon probably works for a lot of people, but not me, because, you know, I've had this problem a long time. I've already been to experts, and they've told me that it's just going to be this way, that there's really, you know, this sermon's probably for someone else. Praise God for them. But you don't understand. I have a pre-existing condition. You don't understand. I just, you know, my parents told me I was just not smart enough to do things and stuff like oh, we could go down that list. Wrong. All of it wrong. Rip it up. Tear it up. There's a solution.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 8. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there. In your phones, you can turn there on the old analog. They call that stuff paper, I think. They call that paper. You can turn the page. Luke chapter 8, verse 43 through verse 48. If you don't have any of that stuff, you can look up at the screens and read along with me. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 minutes. Did I read that wrong? For 12 days? 12 years. All right, pause. 12 years is a long time, yo, right? We'd agree with that, right? If you had a problem for 12 years, you wouldn't be so happy about it, right? 12 years, reading on. But no one could heal her, verse 44. She came up behind him. Who's him?
Jesus.
And touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately, everyone said immediately, her bleeding stopped. Verse 45, who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Verse 47. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Last verse. Then he said to her, daughter, somebody say this next word. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Now this lady, she was told by every doctor she went to, right? She went to doctor after doctor after doctor. She even went to places probably that we wouldn't consider doctor. We're talking like witch doctor. We're talking like she took Herbalife. Anybody see Herbalife was in the news this week? All right, jokes. All right. They found out Herbalife got hit with a big lawsuit that they weren't really selling drugs that would help people. All right, but going to person after person trying to get this healing, current events, all right, you get them at church. And 12 years, never healed.
Right.
12 years, didn't see improvement. 12 years, the exact same. You get it, so frustrating to try and try and try and never see anything better. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yes. It's so frustrating. This lady never gave up.
That's right.
To give up would be to die. But she never gave up. She never gave in. Have you given up? Have you given up on finding your solution? The woman kept searching for a solution. Would you consider that faith?
Yeah.
I consider that faith. She might not wear a Christian bumper sticker, you know, have a little fish back there and God's my co-pilot my boss is a Jewish carpenter. Little cute little bumper stickers like that. She probably didn't have any of those. I know she didn't have a car, but regardless of all that stuff, how you would define what faith is, she had faith just in the fact she never gave up.
Amen.
Some of you might be in here today. You might be trying to figure out Christianity. You might be figuring out religion. You go, I don't know if I understand faith, if I'd ever come to faith. Let me tell you, you probably already have come to faith at some point in your life with something. If you've never given up, you have had faith. If you tried again in life, you have faith. Now, the only difference is a Christian finds that they don't have the strength to do it, and they find that strength in another power, okay? That's the only difference there. Coming to faith, she was searching for a solution. And in the middle of her search, cross out search, let's say it like this, in the middle of her failure, continual failure, she thought, I'll try Jesus.
All right.
Coming to faith in Jesus, let me tell you, it's not silly or weak-minded. It's just trying.
Yes.
Just like going to the doctors was not silly or weak-minded. No one's going to put you down for going to a doctor to try to get better. Nobody's going to try to put you down for going to a marriage counselor or taking some drugs to get over your depression. Nobody's going to put you down. But can I tell you, coming to faith in Jesus, it can be simply seen like this. It's simply being thorough in your search for a solution. Now, I want to talk to some people out there that you've not come to Jesus yet. I want to tell you, you've been looking everywhere for the answers, looking everywhere for the solution. Why not try Jesus? You are never going to be thorough in your search unless you try Him. Okay. You can't ever say, I've tried everything until you've tried Him. So I would just encourage you today, try Him. And I've got full confidence that when you try Him, you're going to see a difference in your life. Anybody know what I'm talking about in this place? Y'all believe that? Life is full of unexpected solutions. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Here's some of them we take for granted. Disease is cured by serum. And where do we get the serum? The serum is taken from people that were infected with the disease. It's like, don't go to those people. Those people have the disease. Stay away from those people. No, look into those people, pull out the cure out of somebody who was sick.
All right.
Is that unexpected?
Yeah.
You bet. Your car is slipping on the road. Your car ever slip on the road? If it's raining, Dallas Texans just have no idea what to do on the freeway. It's just really sad. God keep us from snow or anything like that, because it's real bad. But your car starts to slip on the road. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to turn. See, Dallas Texans need to hear this sermon. When you're sliding, you turn into the slip. You don't turn away from it, you turn into it. And that's kind of unexpected for people. Parenting, full of unexpected solutions. Relationships, getting right with people. You end up saying things you thought you were never going to say. You start realizing things that are wrong inside of your heart that you never realized before. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's unexpected. Turns out I do need to change. Who knew that? Everyone, that's the answer. Everyone knew that. All right. You want to make a point with someone? This is unexpected. You want somebody to listen to you and make a point with them? How about you listen first? It's unexpected. Pride, it always trends down. Yet humility always trends up. It's unexpected. Life is filled with unexpected solutions, right? Most of Jesus' teachings baffled everybody. Went, that can't possibly be true. But it was.
Yeah.
Solutions are often non-intuitive. You ever work with something that's non-intuitive, right? Like a computer sometimes, or some software or something. You're like, this doesn't even make sense. That's a button on this. I didn't know that was a button. I was staring at a piece of software the other day. I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And they're like, push that button. That's a button? I just thought it was a logo. It's both. It's a button logo.
Unexpected.
Pokemon Go was the app I was using.
Unexpected.
All right. Just kidding. All right. Solutions are often non-intuitive. In fact, sometimes they fly in the face of your logic.
All right.
Like on an airplane. I've never flown an airplane, but they say if you want to go up, you need to pull back. If you want to go down, you pull forward. There's something about that seems maybe it could have been just as easily the other way, right? How are you going to do these things? Non-intuitive. I want to tell you that we're living in a world that's in need of solutions. Would you agree with this? I mean, I'm totally bipartisan here. The Republican Party, they have no solutions. I've listened to them. I'm sorry. The Democratic Party, I'm sorry. They don't have any solutions. Their number one solution is, let's blame it on those guys. Let's blame it on those guys. That's the whole political system today. Blue, red, put it all together. It's purple. It's mess. All right. The world needs solutions, and we're looking everywhere for solutions. Right now, we're trying to figure out who we're going to vote for at all kinds of levels, city government, state government, national. We're looking all over the place trying to find solutions. People are looking at their 401ks. They're looking at their money. They're looking at the bottom line. They're looking at how much coming in, how much is going out. They're trying to find solutions. They're people, the majority of people are actually one paycheck away from losing everything. That's like 80% of people are living that way. You don't think the world's looking for solutions? Marriages falling apart, over 50% of marriages fail. The world is in need of solutions. I'm not making this up.
All right.
The truth is we need saving. And that might rub some people wrong, the words like that. That's such a Christian thing to say. No, it's a common sense thing to say. Look around. This world needs saving. When people hop in a truck and drive through a crowd that's celebrating liberty in France, killing over 80 people. That's a world that's in need of saving. Right? When there's so much racial unrest in our world right now, that's a world that's in need of saving. No matter what your belief system is, I think you should agree with that sentence. The truth is we need saving and we have not found the solution yet. We're kind of like the woman with the issue of blood. We're in that 12-year period. We're going to doctor after doctor after doctor, politician after politician, relationship after relationship, pills after pills, books, a new diet, a new YouTube video. Let's try this on Pinterest. Over and over. We're in that 12-year period. We still need saving. We still need a solution.
All right.
So the world needs saving. Who would you choose to save the world? Just think about that picture. What does he look like? Does he look like Rambo? Right? Does he look like Arnold? Like runs in here, goes, get in the chopper. I can't do a good Arnold. I'm really sorry. But get in the chopper now. Follow me if you want to live, right? Runs in here, got just magazines of bullets. I mean, he goes through the whole movie. He never even uses those. He just wears them because he's tough. Isn't that the guy you would send? You would send Jack Bauer in there. You would send Liam Neeson, and you'd have him call the devil and say, I've got a special set of skills. If you were trying to save the world, you would probably go with something like that. You'd go with somebody that's got like 0% body fat. They could run forever, not get tired. They could lift anything over their head. They could shoot anything. They could blow up everything and somehow run out of the flames. They walk away from the flames as they're exploding and look incredibly cool. That's the person you would pick. That is not who God picked. That has never been who God picks. You look in your Bible, that person's not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. He picks a carpenter's son. He picks a carpenter's son from Galilee. And if you read Galilee, there's like a stigma on Galilee. They have a saying. We know it's a saying because they say it's a saying in the Bible. Well, you know what they say? What good could come out of Galilee? They would laugh about Jesus because he came from Galilee. It's like being from Waco. I know what it's like. I know what it's like. We're there, Cindy. We understand. He was not good looking. The Bible tells us, prophesies that the Messiah would not be good looking. It's in Isaiah 53. He was not comely that anyone would look on him and think twice about him. No one would look at him and go, oh, wow, who is that over there? It says no one did that with Jesus.
Right.
Is that the person you'd pick to save the world? He had no earthly offices or titles ever. He was never elected by anybody. In fact, when he had a group of people follow him, he usually said the exact wrong thing that made everybody turn away. He was born in a manger. His disciples were just a ragtag group of also runs, just people around. Hey, it's like he literally walked up to people and said, hey, follow me. Don't you want to check his resume, Jesus? No, follow me. This is who God sent to save the world. It's okay if you just said, that seems like a terrible idea. I think that's fair, because by the world standard of what we think a solution is, what we run to in life, we would say we would never run to that guy to save us. I would tell you it's unexpected.
Yes.
Jesus is so unexpected. He is so unexpected that people that even knew the prophecies could quote all the prophecies verbatim. Like, you want me to quote them now? And they just quote all of them. Like that, kind of crazy. They knew all that stuff. Even though they knew all that stuff, they looked the Messiah right in the face and didn't expect it to be him.
Yes.
It is so unexpected that Jesus point blank tells people what God is going to do, and his disciple bros over there are like, yeah, cool. And then when it happened, they're like, I wasn't expecting that.
That's right.
All over the place. In fact, a woman goes to the tomb of Jesus to find Jesus. She sees Jesus right there. He's standing right there. And it says she thought he was a gardener.
Right.
Nobody's ever expecting Jesus. He is the most unexpected solution of all time. We never see him coming. So God sends a Savior. The world needs a Savior. The world needs a solution. He sends someone. And what does he do? He goes and he dies.
That's right.
If you were making a plan for how to save people in a burning building, you would not write down, all right, let's send in someone and they die. Before saving anyone. This is before anyone's saved, right? He doesn't die. In the movies, it always, they die after they save everyone. They're like running out. They've saved all the hostages. But that one bad guy with the scar on his face, he reaches up and he shoots our hero. And he dies saving everyone. It's not like that with Jesus. He dies before he saves a single person.
All right.
You get this picture. You would not write this story. You would not pick this story. This is so unexpected. You send this Savior, and then he just dies in front of everybody. He breathes his last. He gives up the ghost. He dead. Look at somebody, say, he dead. Y'all didn't all say it, but that's okay. And then they take his body. And like all dead people, they bury him. They put him in a tomb. He doesn't even own the tomb. Someone gives him the tomb to be buried in. You can't even see him anymore. His dead body is gone. What happens to all dead bodies is going to happen to this dead body. Worms are going to come. Maggots are going to come. The worst things about death are going to fall upon our hero right here. At this point, this doesn't seem like a solution at this point. Would you agree? This seems like an utter failure at this point. You would look at this point. In fact, they looked at this point. There are people in the Bible that are walking along the road to Emmaus. And they're looking really sad. And this guy walks up and says, hey, why are you guys so sad? And they said, well, have you not heard? Who are you? You haven't heard? There's this guy and he was crucified. And it says some of the saddest words in the Bible. We had hoped that he was the one that was going to come and make everything right. That's what it says. That at this point, that's what this story looks like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we hope this would have turned out. It seems like an utter failure. Can I preach to you for 1 second? You look right here. Could it be that the thing in front of you right now that looks like failure could actually be the unexpected solution you've been looking for?
All right.
Because that's what this is. Because what happens next is the resurrection. See, that's going to happen. But before that happens, you're just staring at this utter failure. The resurrection's coming tomorrow. Or right now at the end of service, let's say.
All right.
But right now, you're staring, looking at this thing going, this is failure. Could it be that it's not failure? It's just that God is bringing a solution to you in an unexpected way. He does it time and time again. What is that shepherd boy going to do against a giant? Oh, I'll show you what he's going to do against the giant. What are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going to do trying to worship God and be thrown in the fiery furnace? Oh, God will show you exactly what he's going to do. What is Gideon going to do with 300 men that have no weapons against an army that can't be numbered? God's going to show you. It's an unexpected solution But there's always a point when an unexpected solution, like you're right before the answer and you're like, this is the worst idea ever. Let me tell you, every time you've come to church, somebody has preached you a sermon where you had that feeling. They preached you a sermon like, you need to take this step in Jesus. And maybe you never took that step because you're like, that is terrible. That is awful. This can't turn out right. But I want to tell you today, have some faith. Press through like the woman with the issue of blood. Reach out and you can find your unexpected solution today. The resurrection happens. It looked impossible. Let me tell you, it didn't just look impossible on the day before the resurrection. It looked impossible from day one, didn't it? Virgin birth. Everything about him just looked impossible.
Yeah.
Not just when he died, when he was buried, but even when he was born in a manger and there was a king trying to kill him named Herod. Every bit of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, Paul says this, "For what I received, I pass on to you as first importance." Everybody say first importance. I'm going to share some things with you that are of first importance. Number one, that Christ died for our sins. That's what it says. According to the scriptures. So Christ died. That's number one. Number two, that he was buried. This is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4. That he was buried. And then third, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. All right. So he died, he was buried, and he was raised. That is the most important thing. Now, as we're looking at this story before the resurrection, this looks like the worst thing. But Paul tells us it's the most important thing. That Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, Jesus' resurrection is the unexpected solution that is of the most importance in this world.
All right.
So what does that have to do with you? Here's what it has to do with you. And it sounds like a terrible idea. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to be like a used car salesman today and say, hey, this is a beaut. No, I'm telling you, this is weird, man. This is weird. You're going to feel iffy about this at best. Here's the first thing I'm going to say. You need to die. You need to have a death. Don't you like those kind of scriptures? What we need around here is a good funeral. You like the sermon already. Don't leave, Jeremy. Come back. You need a death. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says this, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him." Is the crucifixion a fun thing?
No.
"For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with and we should no longer be slaves to sin." What a crazy idea. You need to die, the Bible says. Second, you need a burial. Also in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death." So you need a death and you need a burial. Can I tell you that death is repentance.
Okay.
When you repent, it's a turning away from your old past. We said that the old body of sin would be done away with. You're no longer a slave to sin. You turn away, and that is repentance. That is considered death. The person you used to be is now dead. What do you do with a dead body? But you bury a dead body. Romans 6, 4 says you are buried with him in, say it, baptism. And then you also need a resurrection. The rest of Romans 6, 4 says it like this, "In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, you too may live a new life."
Amen.
Just as Jesus died, just as Jesus was buried, you too can do those things. And also like him, you can rise again. You see, dying stinks. Never done it personally, but from what I know about it, it's terrible. And burial is terrible. But if you got to die and if you got to be buried, I would choose to be buried and die with Jesus.
Amen.
Because he's the only person I know that doesn't stay dead.
Yes.
And he's the only person that doesn't stay buried. Right. You want that in your life? Do you want that new life? Do you want that promise of a resurrection? Let me tell you, that is the solution the world is looking for. You might be saying, no, that's not the solution I'm looking for today. Oh, friend, it is. I beg you, let's talk about it sometime. You need that solution. And you've looked everywhere for the solution. It's right here in front of you. You are here today being presented with an unexpected solution. And you might say, this is just kind of weird, and walk away. That's cool. We love you. But what if you reached out like the woman who reached out to Jesus? What if you were thorough in your search for a solution? Why not try him today? What have you got to lose? What about that? How about that? What do you got to lose? Try Jesus today. It doesn't have to make sense. Here's the deal. We do things all through life that don't make sense, but they work, right? The electrician comes over. He tries to explain the electronic panel to you. To wit, you say, I don't care how it works. I just want it to work. Fix it and get out of here. I don't need a dissertation on how electronics work, all right? I'm not going to do that. That's why you're here, okay? It doesn't have to make sense. It just needs to work. Can I tell you, repentance and praying to an invisible man, that might be what you think Christianity is like, and it might not make sense to you. I would tell you this, it doesn't have to make sense. It just has to work. And this baptism thing, like, what is that? You're just getting wet. What is that? Let me tell you, it doesn't have to make sense to you. The infilling of the Spirit, you're like, God, how does that work? God's Spirit is inside of you. Where is that exactly? And it doesn't have to make sense. It just has to work. The Bible, I don't understand the Bible completely. Let me tell you, it doesn't have to make sense. That can come later. I promise. We can talk about it. It just has to work. Can I ask Redemption Church, does it work?
Yes.
Does it work when it comes to knowing Jesus and calling on Jesus and praying to Jesus, asking Jesus, when you commit the worst sin and you ask him to forgive you? Let me ask you, does it work?
Yes,
it works. Sick people get healed because it works. Depressed people get hope and peace because it works. Lives are changed. Lives are turned around. People that are judgmental hypocrites come to Jesus and it works. They become people that love people.
Amen.
We have something special happening today. Pamela Kinney is getting baptized.
Yay!
That's the Redemption Church I'm talking about. Yeah. What we have here is somebody who came to us searching. She came to us searching. She came to us saying, I want to know more about God's word. I want to know more about what it means to serve God. And she came to Bible studies, y'all. She came to Bible studies. This is a brand new believer in Christ. She's coming to Bible studies. She's coming to a connect group. She's awesome. And she took this Bible study on what baptism is all about. And she's like, when can I do this?
Right.
You know what that is? That's somebody searching for the solution. Pamela, why don't you come?
I am Pamela Kinney, and I am very excited to be baptized today.
I have been going to Connect Group, and I've been going to Redemption Church for a little bit, and I've been learning all I can about baptism.
Really excited to learn that baptism starts a brand new life in a way of walking with God.
My name is Pamela Kinney, and I am ready to be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Church, this is how we do baptism around here. Family, y'all can come up as close as y'all want. Wherever y'all want to come, y'all come. Hey, if you want to get out of your chairs, Redemption, why don't you come? We're about to open up these altars anyway and pray. Why don't you gather around here and we're going to celebrate. Now, here's one thing. I have one rule around here, all right? Here's the one thing, all right? When she goes down in that water, it's the old body of sin that we read about. But when she comes up from that water, she's a brand new creature in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When she comes up out of this water, it's being born again. Do you get that? There is a brand new Pamela coming up out of this water. A Pamela you never knew before is coming up out of this water. Anybody believe that?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Amen. So Redemption, I want to tell you, all right? You celebrate births, don't you?
Yeah.
You celebrate births. when she comes up out of this water, it is so appropriate for you to lift your voice and praise God. It is so appropriate for you to clap your hands. It is so appropriate for you to praise God for what he's done, all right? It's appropriate, all right? In fact, it's more appropriate than most of the things we celebrate over, right? Amen. Cowboys touchdown. What a fleeting hope that was, right? I'm going to ask you a few questions here, Pamela. Do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Do you believe that he died on the cross for you?
Yes.
Do you believe that he loves you?
Yes.
Do you believe that his blood can wash you clean and take away all your sins?
Yes.
This is a believer right here. I want you to take your hand right here. Grab this right here. Pamela Kinney, you are a believer in Jesus Christ. You have confessed your faith openly. So right now I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Praise him. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Awesome, Pamela. If you have never been baptized, you ought to be baptized. We want to talk to you. We want to get you baptized as soon as possible. We do three things every time we come together here at Redemption Church. We tell you about them every time we're here. Number one is everybody worships. Number two, everybody receives the word of God. Number three, everybody talks to God. What we do is we open up the front of this church for just people to talk. You don't have to be in the front. You can be wherever you want. You could go take communion at the time, whatever you are comfortable doing. But here's one thing I want to tell you. It's something available to you in this time. If you want someone to pray with you, if you need like an unexpected solution today, the Bible says that there is power in prayer when we come together in the name of Jesus. If you want special prayer, you come in the first 2 feet. That lets us know that you want us to pray with you. But all over this house, they're going to start playing some music. I want you to just talk to God. I want you to start to ask him, God, will you be the solution I've been looking for? My family, we've been looking everywhere. God, would you come and be the answer that I need right now in Jesus' name. Come on, Redemption Church, let's talk to God in this place. Come on, lift your voice. Start to call out to him and call on his name. Father, in your name, God, we come to you. Thank you for Pamela. Thank you for what you're doing in her life. And thank you for what you're doing in our life, Jesus. You are the solution we've been looking for. God, Lord, I pray for anyone in this place that's sick, God, that they would find.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.